Welcome to the Tapping Solution, 7 weeks to financial success and personal fulfillment. This is your host, Jessica Ortner. Buckle your seatbelt. This is going to be a great ride. We are starting off by covering the essentials to make sure that after this session, you can continue tapping for the best results. As you already know, I'll be speaking to my brother, Nick Ortner. Now, what I love about Nick is that he not only teaches this information, but he's lived it, and he continues to step up to live a life of financial success and personal fulfillment. He is one of the most heart-centered people I know and has such a passion for helping other people live their best lives. And since he is my brother, I've known him all my life, and I have seen the transformation he has made and the power of tapping and how he's already helped thousands of people. So I personally am beyond excited that you get to learn from a true master. Welcome, Nick.
Thank you, Jessica, for the kind words. You're too kind.
Well, it's all true, and I'm really grateful to be a part of this. I think the best place to start with this first class is just to cover what people can expect from this experience and how they can really get the most out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I want to start by just taking a second to thank you for hosting this 7 weeks, and we're going to have a lot of fun together. And I want to thank everybody listening for making this decision, for making a real commitment to change. I know how busy we are these days. There's so much going on in all of our lives. So just the fact that you're tuning into this, that you've said, you know what, I want something to be different. I want to change. I want to experience a different financial reality. I want to experience more fulfillment. I want to experience more success. I want to follow my passions and my dreams. Whatever it is that you're setting out to do, whatever your goal is for the 7 weeks, I just want to honor you for doing it, for showing up here. You know, I think that just showing up is probably about 50% of the work. You're here. You're halfway there. Then once you listen in and we do the tapping will be the other 50% of the work. But I want to start by really just honoring you for making this decision and this commitment for your own lives and for really the world, because the work that we're doing here, obviously we're looking to impact our own financial future, but we're also looking to impact the world, to change the way things operate, to change the way we experience our financial reality and the way the world operates into a world of more abundance, more contribution, and more real deep passionate joy. So thanks for tuning in. Now on to the basics of the program. You know how it works from the first webinar where we introduce sort of the structure, but I want to really quickly cover it just to remind you. What we're doing right now is the weekly webinar. So this will be one a week for the 7 weeks where Jessica and I will cover a specific topic. This week we're focusing on overwhelm, on overcommitting, and on quieting the mental noise that we all face in our lives. And then we'll cover a different topic every week. At the end of this presentation, you're going to be given a 10 to 15 minute meditation by Jessica. It's a tapping meditation. And if you've experienced it already, I know a lot of you have because we actually gave it to you early. It's a really powerful meditation. It'll be different every single week, and it'll be focused specifically on that week's topics. You know, my intent for these meditations and Jessica's intent is to give you something that you can realistically do every day. That's what's so great about them.
Absolutely.
I know a lot of people struggle with saying, well, I don't know what to tap on, or when I'm tapping with you, it's great. When I have ideas, but I have to do it by myself, I get stuck, or I forget to tap, and I don't know how long to do it for. So we're making it simple for you and just asking for that simple commitment on a daily basis to take those 10 or 15 minutes. Do it in the morning, do it at night, do it at your lunch break, whenever you get time, or do it twice if you feel like it, and just put that time in. And that's going to really reinforce that week's lesson and just give you those bigger breakthroughs. So that'll be the second component. And then on top of that, sort of the icing on the cake is the community. It's the community where we're going to be interacting together. I'll be on there. Jessica will be on there. Other people will be on there answering questions. And maybe most importantly, you'll all be on there. The power of communicating with each other and sharing your successes and sharing your breakthroughs and ideas is really amazing. So I highly encourage that you tune into that community, you join it, and you're as active as you can be. All that being said, the other great thing about this program is that you do it at your own pace. Ideally, you spend the 7 weeks with us and you make that commitment over that 7 weeks. But if you miss week four and you don't have time to catch up on week five because you're away, that's okay. Everything's recorded. You can go back to it later. And this program will be available for you to go back to again and again. You know, a lot of times people find that 6 months later, they say, well, you know, I'm actually having an issue with the thing covered in week four. I wasn't before, but I am now. So I'm going to tune in and get the benefits from that. So this is a program that you will have forever and be able to go back to it again and again.
Yeah, I love that. Well, as we get started with this first class, let's start with going over a few of the basics. How can tapping possibly help us actually make more money?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because it's hard to make that connection when you think about it initially. It's like, of course, there's not a direct connection between tapping on meridian points in the body and making more money in the sense that you don't tap and money shows up in your bank account, right? I've tried it. I've stared at my bank statements while tapping and it just doesn't go. But what does happen, what we're really looking at two main things throughout this program. There's two main themes that we're going to go back to again and again. The first one is taking a look at your story around money, your patterns around money. And what's that mean? It's those unconscious or subconscious decisions that you're making on a daily basis that are affecting your experience around money. I like to look at all this work from a very practical manner. I absolutely believe in the law of attraction. I think that there's amazing things that happen in the universe that we can't explain, that when you get lined up with things, magic truly does happen. And I like to have that magical thinking. I think that's important. But at the same time, I like to look at things from the more, here's what I can prove happened side of things. This is more realistic. And when we look at these money stories and our unconscious or subconscious decisions, there's a couple things that happen. And I'm going to share a story of what might be happening for you. And the reason I'm doing this is that it's very easy to just go, oh, I have subconscious blocks, but it doesn't really make sense. Like, where do they come from and how can I actually do this? So how about a story?
Yes, please.
Okay. So this is a made up scenario, right? Let's imagine that you're in fourth grade and however old you are in fourth grade, 8, 9 years old, up until then, you've had a good life. Your energy is high. You are having fun. You're getting great grades at school. Everything just seems to be going well. Your spirit is really shining, right? You're in fourth grade and you've got to give a presentation in front of the class. So you work hard on your book report or whatever it is that you're presenting and you present in front of the class. You're halfway through it. Everything's going great. And then Joey in the back of the room makes a comment about what you said. Who knows what he says? He makes fun of you some way. The whole class laughs. You said something funny. Joey, the popular kid, makes fun of you. And it's upsetting. You don't cry right in front of the class, but you're upset. You finish your presentation, you go home, and you think about it more and more and more. And you just start thinking about how much that was terrible, like how much that hurt. You were in front of people, you were excited, and you got made fun of for being that star. So it's not like your life falls apart from that, though. Certainly there are events that can happen that where things can really take a dramatic turn. But for most people, they just shrink down a little bit. They just close their energy a little more. So you had this event and now you just say, well, it's not as safe as it was before to be as excited about life as I was. And what happens then? Come fifth grade, sixth grade, you stack up all these little experiences where you close down just a little more and a little more. Your parents say something to you that upsets you. You don't get the positive reinforcement you were expecting. You fail at something. You succeed at something and someone says, oh, you think you're better than us, don't you? And all of these things stack up. Then you get to high school and then college, and now you're out in the world making money. And you're in the presentation that you have to give at work now. Before, the fourth grader, you would have brought a ton of energy and enthusiasm to the presentation and really wowed everybody. But you aren't so sure anymore. What if my colleagues judge me? What if they make fun of me? What if they think I'm silly? I can't be silly. I can't bring the energy I want to bring. I can't be myself. So you bring an average presentation, a little lackluster. People say it's good. You don't get any negative feedback. You get some positive feedback. Who knows if it's real or not? And that's just how you operate. So how did you go from being a shining star, fourth grader, full of energy, enthusiasm, and joy, to giving a lackluster presentation, to not bringing energy to your daily work, to not bringing your full passion and enthusiasm? And the way you got there is by those little experiences. It's starting in fourth grade with that little experience and then just building from there one at a time. What we're going to do in the 7 weeks is we're going to explore those experiences. We're going to explore the belief systems. We're going to explore the energy that you bring into the world on a daily basis. The reality is that when you bring all of you to the world is when you succeed. You know, this course is Financial Success and Personal Fulfillment. And I made personal fulfillment a big part of it because I was kind of tired of seeing all these programs say, we're going to make more money, get rich quick, this, that, and the other. You know, manifest $1 million by tomorrow. Listen, that's all great. And I promise you, we're going to look at the financial side, but we're also going to look deeply at the side of personal fulfillment. And personal fulfillment means bringing all that you are into your work, into your experience of money, into your experience of finances and career and your passions. So when I talk about the story, I'm talking about what is this new story that you've created for yourself that for the most part isn't true. We're going to try to figure out what are the lies that you've told yourself about how good you are, how smart you are, how competent you are. What are the lies that you've told yourself about the world, how the world treats you and how you react to the world? What are the lies that you've told yourself about money, about feeling safe around money, about money being spiritual, about being willing to stand out? So that's really the story side of what we're going to be doing in these 7 weeks.
Right. Well, that is so fascinating. I'm sure as you were telling the story, everyone listening is probably relating to their own stories that we're going to be able to work on. And another interesting thing that I've heard you talk about that I think is important to bring up is the noise that we have and the stress that we have in our daily life. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the most powerful, transformative, deepest work with tapping is when we get to that story, when we get to that fourth grade event that could have been the tipping point for everything else, when we get to what our parents told us about money, those specific events. The problem is it's kind of hard to go there with the amount of noise we have in our lives. And what do I mean by noise? Noise is everything that you're dealing with on a daily basis. It's all the stuff. It's all the bills. It's all the to-do lists. It's everything you have to deal with that is just, for most people, too much. So when we say, all right, well, let's deal with these traumatic events from fourth grade, it's hard to even go there. There's no room, right? The body is in fight or flight all the time, and we just can't access those deeper emotions, feelings, and ideas. So what we're going to do in today's call is really focus on that noise. What are the things that trigger you on a daily basis? What are the things that are really setting you off? And then also, we're going to look into having a deeper understanding of that noise. What's the noise that we have that we're not even aware of? You know, sometimes there's, you know, when there's white noise, whether it's a refrigerator running, right? So a refrigerator is running or a fan is on or something's going on for a long time. And then all of a sudden it turns off and you go, oh my gosh, look how quiet it is, right?
Right.
I find that when I get out of the city, if I spend any time in New York City and then I come back to Connecticut, I'm like, whoa, I can hear the silence. Right. So we're going to try to quiet the noise in our lives so we can hear the silence.
I love that.
I know that sounds like an oxymoron with silence.
Yeah.
But I think you understand what I mean.
I think, yes, I think we all understand and we can relate. And we're going to dive deeper into this concept of noise a little bit later in the call. What I'd like to ask you now is, as we get started, what is the first step to getting the best results with tapping on this topic?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, there's three things that I focus on that are really sort of the fundamental basics. You know, the tapping process, you can learn in 5 minutes, maybe 10. Learn the tapping points, here's how you do it, you say this every time, oh, that's simple enough. Well, why do people get stuck or why don't they get the deep, deep results that they're looking for? It's because they're not doing some of the other basics that take a little more work, and that's what we're gonna do during these 7 weeks. Key number one, and we're gonna focus a lot on that in this call for the tapping process, is to increase your level of awareness. So just think about the word awareness. What does it mean? It means understanding. We talk about stress levels, for example. We talk about it all the time. Oh, we're stressed. You know, if we ask people, are you stressed? They'll go, yeah, I'm stressed. And if you ask them, does stress affect your life? Oh, yeah, it affects your life. Does it affect your body? Oh, yeah, it affects my body. But do we really understand what stress is doing to us? And maybe even more importantly, do we understand exactly how stressed we are? A lot of times we don't recognize. It's the same thing about that noise. When we quiet that noise, we go, wow, I can feel the residual effects of that stress coursing through my body. I didn't realize how amped up I was. It'll happen to me personally sometimes in days where I'm really busy. And even if I'm loving everything I'm doing, you know, there's a certain level of being busy and running from one phone call to an email to a meeting that can take a toll on you. And it's not until the end of the day where I go, whoa, I was running a little faster than I needed to be today. Right. And I can feel that, Wow, I'm a little stressed. So we want to start having that awareness around our stress level. And in particular, we're focusing on the stress level around finances. We're going to look at the stress level around your career, around your passion, around what you're getting done on a daily basis. We want to start having some awareness about what's really going on. I think one great way to have that awareness is to get a little more grounded in the body. So why don't we do a tapping round on that awareness? And just, it'll be more, instead of starting with an issue, it'll be more of a positive affirmation about getting more grounded and listening to your body a little more.
Okay, so should we start right at the eyebrow point?
Well, let's do a karate chop point.
Okay.
So even though I have all the stress in my body.
Even though I have all this stress in my body.
And a lot of it is around finances. I deeply and completely accept myself. Okay, quick pause because, and you're going to have to catch me, Jess, because I'm bad at this. Let's make sure to give it a number and a 0 to 10 scale. Even though we're being very generic here, we're not doing specific tapping right now. We're just trying to get a little more grounded. But just if you get a sense for how grounded and present you are right now, and a 10 is like, you are there. Like you can feel it in the center of your heart. You are rooted into the earth. If that's a 10 and a 1 is like, your mind is scattered. You are flighty. You just can't stop thinking about everything you have to do. And you're wondering, what are you doing on this tapping call? Because you got so much to do. You don't have time for it, right? If that's what your brain is doing, you might be at a 1 or a 2. And so 10 is the positive in this case.
Okay.
So give it a number to 0 to 10 scale. And we're going to shoot for a 10 of positive, grounded presentness here.
Okay.
So back to the side of the hand. Even though part of me isn't grounded and present. I choose to feel grounded now. One more time. Even though part of me is somewhere else. I can't stop thinking about everything I have to do. I have to move faster. I got to do other things. I choose to feel present now. And let's go to the eyebrow point. Side of the eye, feeling present and grounded. Under the eye, I'm feeling more and more present. Under the nose, I'm feeling more and more grounded. Under the mouth, I choose to feel grounded now. Collarbone, I am rooted in the earth. Under the arm, I feel safe and grounded. On top of the head, I feel so safe and grounded. Take a deep breath. And let it go. So you can do that again if you want, if you're still a little flighty, but even just one round, I'm going to take a minute. I think all of us can probably tune in. I got more grounded. I was like, oh,
yeah,
okay.
Me too.
Here we are. Now we're present. Now we're paying attention to where we are. And that's really important with the tapping, to pay attention to what's going on in your body. What are we feeling? What are we thinking? You know, one of the reasons why we do so much with the body, with tapping, and we're going to do stuff with finances and the body. So when you think about money, what do you feel? Anxiety. Where do you feel it in your body? In my stomach. The body is such a great messenger for us. It's telling us what's going on. It's a fantastic way to tap on these sort of out there things, right? Because if you think about beliefs, like if I have a belief that rich people aren't nice, that feels like a very heady thing. But when we feel where that is in our body, it helps us to get more grounded and connect to it more. So
absolutely. And you know what I find too, Nick, and I find this in my own life, if I am struggling with facing something, I feel less centered because suddenly I rather be doing the dishes than be, you know, doing this specific work. Because there is a moment where it's a bit uncomfortable to be having this awareness and not just ignoring it. So what we just did is a great reminder that if our mind is wandering, oftentimes we just need to let it know that we're safe and we're ready to really have this awareness, to do this work, and to clear this once and for all.
Yeah, I agree completely. You know, those are really sort of subtle defense mechanisms. I know it sounds funny that doing the dishes might be a defense mechanism. But yeah, if you start doing this work and you're like, oh, I got to go do the dishes, pay attention. You know, we're going to talk a lot about triggers this week. Well, that's a trigger right there. What are the habits? What are the things that you do when you start feeling something a little more that you go, oh, I can't feel this. It's not safe. At the end of the day, a lot of this work comes down to safety, to feeling safe in your body. So if you're doing these things, if you're distracting yourself, if you're not getting to stuff, if these self-sabotage behaviors, just start paying attention to them. Awareness is the first step. And when you go, I'm starting to feel something and I don't want to feel it, I don't want to feel it, I'm going to run and do something else. The great thing about tapping, what I perhaps love the most about it, is that we're only feeling things for a short period of time. You know, it wouldn't be fun if we were having this conversation and I said, okay, well, we're going to focus on your bills and you're going to stare at your bills and see your credit card statements, or we're going to stare at your inbox and everything you have to do, and you're going to be miserable. You know, so just enjoy being miserable. Just look at it and feel terrible. What's the point in that? Well, we're not doing that. We're doing that for a short, tiny period of time to feel the feelings, to really tune in. What's going on? What am I feeling about these things? And then you can do the tapping to clear it, as opposed to just repressing it or having that defense mechanism come up.
Exactly. Okay, so key number one is awareness. And if we're having trouble with that, it's important to do some tapping to feel grounded. And what is key number two?
Key number two is being specific. Now, it's going to be tricky during these 7 weeks. This is why I'm making this one of the big keys, because we're going to do global tapping. I'm going to do my best to share stories of that I've had, the clients have had. We're going to do tapping that's live with other people, and it'll be specific to them, but it might not be specific to you. It might be just a little different. It's important that you focus on the specific. For example, the tapping meditations that you'll have available every week, those are really global statements. Now, Jess is really good at these, so we get comments all the time. People go, oh my gosh, how did you know that this was exactly my issue? But some statements will land, and by land I mean they'll, yes, that's true, and other statements won't. So if a statement doesn't land, if a particular story doesn't feel true to you, don't worry about it. Just focus on what that brings up for you, or focus on your specific issue. So when we do global statements, think about your specific issue. The other thing about being specific as you come up with your own statements is that we're going to really focus on sort of what I mentioned before with anxiety around bills. So instead of just going, oh, the bills make me anxious, or I hate bills, and just tapping on, even though I hate bills, or even though I have so many bills and I'm so anxious, we're going to get really specific. So it's going to be, even though I have all these bills and it makes me so anxious, I feel it in the pit of my stomach, and it reminds me of how often this has been going on, I deeply and completely accept myself. Or even though I'm looking in my inbox and I just feel like there's too much to do and I'm not enough and I can't do it, I deeply and completely accept myself. We're going to go to the real specifics of what you're feeling. And I'm going to ask questions along the way to help you come up with that, to help you get real clarity on what's going on here. This ties in so well with the first key, which is awareness, right? We can be specific when we're aware of exactly what's going on. These 7 weeks are going to be a little bit of a reality check. We're going to look at how we feel exactly, how we feel, the patterns that we run, and we're going to look at them in order to address them and clear them so they don't stay as these unconscious patterns. So we don't just keep saying to ourselves, you know, I sabotage myself. I don't know why, right? How many times have you heard that from yourself or from other people? Oh, I'm a procrastinator, but I don't know why. I have clutter all over my place. I don't know why. I've been trying to do this. I don't know why. We're going to get rid of that I don't know why. We're going to say, yeah, I sabotage myself, and here's why. And then we're going to change that pattern. So with that awareness comes being specific on what's going on and changing that pattern.
Right. And what I'd like to bring up as well, Nick, is with being specific is people can tap along with my tapping audio. But once you learn how to be specific, the real power comes with doing the tapping on your own. So we set everybody up for the success. And then there comes a point where you need to take the time and kind of venture into that tapping experience on your own with your specific challenges.
Absolutely. You know, we're together for 7 weeks, and that we'll be able to cover a lot then. But what happens 5 years from now when you face a different challenge and we're not together to deal with it? Part of the really great thing about this program is we're going to build that muscle so you can handle these challenges for yourself. You know, it's the line, would you rather give a man a fish and feed him for a day, or teach him how to fish and feed him forever? So we're going to learn how to fish here. We're going to learn how to be aware, how to understand these patterns, and how to really rewrite our financial destiny.
Absolutely. Okay, Nick, so we know key number two is be more specific. What is the third key?
Key number three is developing good habits. Now, what does that mean? It means part of what we talked about before, awareness is a habit. So trying to get into that habit of paying more attention, that's a good habit to develop. And the other good habit is to actually do the tapping. Now, I know that it's not easy. And what I mean by it's not easy, of course, it's easy to do the tapping and it's easy to take 10 minutes or even 5 minutes. But what's not easy about it is that for most of us, at most, I mean, I've been using tapping for 10 years. So that's on the extended side of how long people have been doing tapping. Some people, the originators, for 20 years. But for most people, this isn't something we grew up with. This isn't something we saw in childhood and we just learned to do it like riding a bike. This isn't something we've ever seen on television. There aren't any visual cues. If you pop on the TV to watch your favorite show, the commercial doesn't talk about tapping, right? It doesn't remind you. You don't see people walking around tapping, though I have been catching them on planes tapping. So
it's spreading.
I know that it's spreading. But for the most part, we don't have these cues. So it's really up to us to remember to tap. And that's one of the reasons why I think those daily meditations are so important, because it's a very specific, basic task that you can do. And you can just say, I'm going to do this on a daily basis. And that's the other power, too, of making the 7-week program. You know, we had choices with this program on how to deliver it. Did we want it to be a weekend event? Did we want it to just be a program of CDs that we ship out and people just listen to? But there's a lot of power in that consistency and going step by step over those 7 weeks. So I'm here to remind you. You'll get emails from me reminding you to tap and reminding you about the different things that we have available. And just make your own effort to develop those good habits. And, you know, if you're stuck and you keep not remembering, you can even do some tapping on, even though I don't remember how to tap.
Right. I do love those. I love where you just start where you are.
Yeah, absolutely. Whatever's going on, it's like, oh, I'm so frustrated at myself because I'm not tapping.
Yeah.
You know, okay, well, let's tap on that frustration. You know, we're not looking to compound that frustration, but let's tap on that. And, you know, that's actually an issue that we will cover in the program that a lot of people are faced with. When you look to change, when you're exploring this kind of material, when you're doing other things, when you're saying, it's time for me to clean up my life, to tap, to meditate, to exercise, to eat better, all of a sudden you can have a to-do list, you know, a mile long, that's all like the self-care list. That's all the things you're supposed to do to take care of yourself. And you're even more stressed out about everything you have to do to take care of yourself, about how conscious you have to be about everything. So we can tap on that. Listen, like the rest of you, there are days when part of me thinks, oh man, this is a lot of work being this conscious and growing and stretching and standing out. I kind of wish I was, you know, 15 years old in high school or 18 in high school and not having to worry about all these things. There's that ignorance is bliss, and it can be in some ways. What we want to do is we want to make this journey fun again. We want to bring the joy back into this process of self-exploration, of change. We want to make finances fun. We want to make making money fun. We want to make choosing the right career, following your passion fun. For a lot of us, it's gotten a little too serious. And I know if you're in debt listening right now, or you have other stress, and I talk about making it fun, I know there's a part of you that's saying, come on, there's nothing fun about this. I get it. I've been there. But just stick with me and just open up to the possibility that you can quiet that mental noise, that you can reduce the stress levels. And you know what? If you're going to get a bill, you might as well laugh about it and enjoy it. And then that's when things start changing in a big way.
Absolutely. Well, let's get back on this topic of the noise, because I think it's so fascinating and we all can relate to it. Can you just review to us again, what is this noise and how is it really impacting us?
You know, I covered in the original webinar the fight or flight response, and I've talked about this a lot recently. And I know some of you are saying, I already heard about this, but we're going to cover it again. Repetition is key, because I want you to get this. I want you to really start recognizing when your body is going into these subtle fight or flight responses. This isn't the ultimate response of being chased by a tiger. That's like the ultimate my life is in danger response. These are more subtle, but they do put your life in danger. And the life that they put in danger is the life of freedom, joy, opportunity, and passion. That's the life that gets endangered by the small fight or flight responses. It's not your physical life. It's the life that you want. And here's what happens when we get overwhelmed, when we look at the inbox and we think, oh my God, there is so much to do. We freeze. We go into the fight or flight. The stress level goes up and we literally do not have the mental capabilities to address the problems we're facing. So what happens? I've done this again and again. I will spend time in my inbox and 3 hours will go by and I'll say, what did I do? right?
Yeah.
Like, I am just wasting time. Or I'll sit there, like, clicking around websites and looking at this and looking at that and saying, first of all, I'm clearly not present, right? We were talking about being present before. I am not present to what I'm experiencing right now. And I'm so overwhelmed and so stressed out that I'm not getting anything done. And what happens then? Well, I get even more stressed out about not getting anything done. So we're looking to have that awareness about the patterns that we have, about that fight or flight response. You know, from a purely physical perspective, when we get stressed, when that low-grade fight or flight response kicks in, the blood flows away from our forebrain, which is our creative problem-solving faculties, and it goes into the rest of our body to deal with the danger that we're feeling. Cortisol levels shoot up. What does cortisol do? Well, it helps you hold on to weight. Why do you hold on to weight? Your body thinks, I'm in danger. I'm being chased by a tiger is what I understand, so I might as well hold on to weight because who knows when I'm going to eat next. So now, not only are you overwhelmed, not only are you stressed out, you can't think clearly, you're getting nothing done, now you're packing on the pounds. And there, and that adds even more stress, right? So we want to increase that awareness that we have. When are we getting stressed? When are we having that fight or flight response? And I want you to really pay attention to the subtle stuff. The big stuff is obvious. If you have a huge blow up with your husband or wife about finances and you're just angry as can be, well, I don't need to tell you you're in fight or flight. You know it. You feel it in every cell of your body. You feel angry. You know this is something to deal with. I want you to start looking at the daily fight or flight responses that you might not be so aware of because you're so used to them, right? What does 9 a.m. feel like when you get to the office? What does 6 o'clock feel like when you get home and the kids are running around or whatever else you have going on? We want to try to identify those triggers and identify that noise in order to clear our response to it.
Right. And I'd love to do that more. You know, I know that we're going to be getting more and more specific through the 7 weeks, but what are some triggers that people have right now that is part of this mental chatter?
Absolutely. So I'm going to give a bunch of different examples. And like I said earlier, some will land for you and others won't. When we're talking about finances, probably the most obvious one that everybody knows about, and I mentioned it before, is bills. People writing you letters telling you you owe them money, right? Of course, they're not letters anymore. It's American Express or Visa sending an automated statement, but that's what's happening. Someone is putting something in your mailbox and saying, you owe me this money. You have this commitment to me. You got to pay me back.
Right.
And nobody likes them. So bills are a really important one to look at. And again, what we're looking at with these triggers is, how do I feel about this? So when you look at the bills, you know, just take a second now and think about bills or whatever financial trigger sets you off. So it might be bills, or if you're running a company, maybe it's your payroll. Maybe it's the money that you owe to somebody else. So think about whatever sort of dollar sign number, I owe this, or I have to pay that, or I need to make this much by next month to cover my mortgage. I know plenty of people who are doing fantastically financially, and they've bought themselves a $10,000 a month house that they have to keep up, right? So from the outside perspective, you go, wow, they're doing great. Look at everything that's happening. And they're sitting there going, I can't keep up. This is too much. So think about that number that's stressing you out.
Now, I do want to mention, Nick, that as people are thinking about this, this is a great opportunity to have a piece of paper and to be jotting things down, even random thoughts that come up while you're talking about things.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. I think throughout this whole process, the more notes you take, the more clear you are on what you're feeling, something came up. Because what will happen too is we'll be thinking about bills and other stray thoughts will come in. They might be related to this and something you want to tap on, or they might be something else altogether. What we want to do is write them down so we can either tap on them later or put them out of the way. It's sort of like a to-do list. If you have a to-do list in your head and you have 12 items in your head, it can feel really overwhelming. The second you go 1 through 12 on a piece of paper and write them down, you say, oh, that's not so bad. I can do this. Here are the 12 steps. So great key to write them down. Have that piece of paper handy and just think about the bills or some other financial responsibility that you have. You have a lot of payroll, you owe money to someone, you're expecting money from someone, you don't know if you're going to get it.
And what about other triggers, Nick? Because, you know, you're talking about this noise, this refrigerator, where sometimes we're so used to it, we don't even notice how much it's really impacting us. I can imagine that's true to be with things that don't seem directly related to our finances. For example, you know, the phone ringing or how many emails we have. Are those all part of the noise that we need to clear, even though it doesn't seem directly related to our finances?
Yeah, no doubt about it. So I think what we should do is let's focus on a number right now, and I'm going to ask some questions, and then we're going to do a little tapping on, again, whether it's bills or whatever your financial responsibility is, because everyone has it. Even if you're making a ton of money and things are going great, you have financial responsibilities. And then after we go through just to focus on the number, I'll share some of the other ideas like the phone ringing and the inbox and Facebook and that kind of thing.
Okay, fantastic.
All right. Okay, so think about that financial responsibility, and here's some questions to ask yourself when you think about it. The first simple one is, how do I feel about this? So you look at your bills, you look at what you owe someone, you look at the payroll you have to meet. What's the feeling you have? Are you anxious? Are you scared? Are you angry? You know, you might look at the credit card bill and the interest that they're charging you and you get angry. So go ahead and tune into that, and then, you know, make a note, I'm anxious about this. And like anything, give it a number on a 0 to 10 scale. Another great question is, what does this remind me of? So when you think about that financial trigger, what does it remind you of? Well, it makes me think of the fact that this has been going on for 10 years. Or I think about how my parents had the same exact problem. It was always bills, 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 money, money, money. So what does this remind you of? Another question, when has this happened before? Is this a pattern? Is this trigger a pattern? I'm so overwhelmed right now and I've got so many financial responsibilities and it's the same thing that happened 5 years ago when I did X. So when has this happened before? Another great question, when do I expect it to happen again? Well, if it's bills, you expect them to come again next month. What are your feelings about this? When's it going to happen again? Oh, this will keep happening because, you know, I can't hold money. I just spend it everywhere. This is what's going to happen again. So just tune into that and write down any ideas, thoughts. And remember, anything stray that comes in, anything that's distracting you or anything that, just write it down so you can tap on it later. Next great question, how does my body feel? So you look at that bill. You think about your financial responsibilities. How does your body feel? I have all this tightness in my chest. My throat, it's like I want to speak up and I can't. How does my body feel? And then the last question for now, do I feel safe or unsafe when this happens? Now, the answer is most likely going to be unsafe. It's kind of a loaded question, right? We're looking at financial triggers, you're likely to feel unsafe. But I ask this question because I want you to tune into that feeling of not feeling safe. What is that like?
So Nick, once people have answered these questions, and like we mentioned before, we do hope that people write them down, suddenly they're looking at that piece of paper. They're not feeling good about it because obviously we're getting that first step, that awareness about what's really bothering us. What do we now do with this information?
Well, let's do a couple rounds of tapping right now to bring the energy back up. I can already feel everybody out there going, oh my gosh, I feel unsafe. My body's constricted. This has happened to me again and again, and I feel stuck, right?
Right.
So let's do some tapping. Let's raise the energy back up and clear this now that you're feeling it.
All right, Nick, so let's start this tapping.
Absolutely. Let's raise this energy. So tapping on the side of the hand. Even though I have all this stress in my body.
Even though I have all this stress in my body.
About this financial trigger.
About this financial trigger.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
Even though I'm so stressed about this financial trigger.
Even though I'm so stressed about this financial trigger.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
Even though I'm stressed and overwhelmed.
Even though I'm stressed and overwhelmed.
About these bills.
About these bills.
About these responsibilities.
About these responsibilities.
About all the financial stuff I have going on.
About all the financial stuff I have going on.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
So back to the eyebrow. All these financial triggers.
All these financial triggers.
Side of the eye, all the stress.
All this stress.
Under the eye, all these triggers.
All these triggers.
Under the nose, I get so overwhelmed.
I get so overwhelmed.
Under the mouth, there's nothing I can do about them.
There's nothing I can do about them.
Collarbone, I feel powerless.
I feel powerless.
Under the arm, I feel powerless and overwhelmed.
I feel powerless and overwhelmed.
Top of the head, what am I supposed to do about this?
What am I supposed to do about this?
Back to the eyebrow, releasing some of this anxiety.
Releasing some of these anxiety.
Side of the eye, releasing the stress.
Releasing the stress.
Under the eye, I recognize this trigger.
I recognize this trigger.
Under the nose, I recognize what it's doing to me.
I recognize what it's doing to me.
Under the mouth, and I change the pattern.
And I change the pattern.
Collarbone, I change this pattern now.
I change this pattern now.
Under the arm, changing my conditioned response.
Changing my conditioned response.
Top of the head, changing this trigger now.
Changing this trigger now.
Back to the eyebrow. All these triggers.
All these triggers.
Side of the eye are coming into my awareness.
Are coming into my awareness.
Under the eye, I'm aware of what I'm doing.
I'm aware of what I'm doing.
Under the nose, I'm aware of how I'm reacting.
I'm aware of how I'm reacting.
Under the mouth, I'm aware of what it's doing to my body.
I'm aware of what it's doing to my body.
Collarbone, and I choose to change this pattern now.
And I choose to change this pattern now.
Under the arm, I choose to change this pattern now.
I choose to change this pattern now.
Top of the head, releasing this pattern now.
Releasing this pattern now.
Take a deep breath. And let it go. So after every round, we always do two things. We tune in to the original number. So if you wrote down you were feeling an 8, when you think about the bills or whatever anxiety you were feeling, we see what changed. Did it go down? Did it go up because something else came up? That's okay too. And we also pay attention to what we felt, what other thoughts and ideas we had. So we were tapping on the bills and you remembered something else that happened 10 years ago. Make a note of that. Those are all clues that there's something else to work on there.
Right. I think it's important to note that all the tapping that we do here, our intention is for people to gain momentum, to just get started, and then they can use all the answers to those great questions you gave us to be more specific.
Absolutely.
So, Nick, you mentioned this briefly before about this other type of noise. A lot of us are aware of it. It's the emails, the Facebook, Twitter, the internet, media. Tell us about how this can be a trigger for us and how it can impact our finances.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting because these triggers, so if we look at Facebook, you know, we log on Facebook and we spend time there and look around and see everything else that's happening in the world, what our friends are doing and not doing, all the great things they have going on, the pictures of the new thing they bought or the party they were at. When we look at the media and see certain lifestyles, glamorous lifestyles, these can all be really subtle but powerful triggers. And I sort of put them in the category of keeping up with the Joneses, right? Keeping up with the Joneses has been a phrase that's been around for a long time. And it was really sort of big in the 1950s. And we're talking about your neighbors. You had these neighbors that you could see right next to you. And, you know, the Joneses would buy a new car and you'd have to buy a new car to keep up with them. Or they would get something else, and it was just sort of a lot of competition within that neighborhood. Now, that's changed to really sort of exist on Facebook, Twitter, the internet, and media right now. And what's interesting about these triggers is that we don't always fully consciously think about them. I mean, sometimes we do. I mean, there are times when we can be on Facebook and go, oh, man, look at this person living this life, and my life just isn't the same. You know, if only our lives were as perfect as they looked on Facebook, right? You know, most people don't post like, yeah, I was up at 2 a.m. eating potato chips last night. Here's a picture of me, you know?
Yeah.
Most people don't post the challenges they're facing, the bills that they have. Some people do. They share their challenges, and I think there can be that can be positive in building community and people sharing their difficult experiences. But for the most part, it's, oh, look at everything that's going great in our lives. And the challenge with that is that while it's powerful and it's important to set big goals and dreams, and you can be motivated by seeing someone else doing something great and then you want to do the same thing, I think that's very healthy. So if that happens and it feels healthy, you feel good about it, then great. You know, if you see that your friend bought a brand new car that you love and you go, oh man, that is amazing. I'm so happy for him. And you know what? I really want to step it up. I want to buy a car just like that. That's a positive response. But what did most people do? Oh, that bastard. You know, I didn't even get
lucky.
It. He's so lucky. Yeah, his parents have money, or I don't know. I don't think he even does anything at that job and they pay him so well. Or what a show off. Look, why do you have to buy a Mercedes? He's such a show off, right? It's those judgments that we're looking to quiet. And not only for our own financial success and future, because that is how we achieve our financial success and future, but for our personal fulfillment, for our spiritual fulfillment. It's not a good feeling to judge people in that way. And it's not a good feeling to judge ourselves in that way. And that's what happens with a lot of it. It's that self-judgment that comes in that goes, well, I'm not good enough. I'm not like Billy, Bob, Joe, or Susie who are doing these amazing things. Look at what they're doing. Or I'm not like the person on TV who's a millionaire rock star living in a 10,000 square foot house. I'm not good enough. So we're looking to quiet that noise and that mental judgment. So, you know, let's do a little tapping on just the concept of comparing ourselves to other people.
You know, I like this, Nick, because I'm going to say again, I think this is one of those things that a lot of people do and they're not even aware what a big problem it is and how it impacts them and how it really impacts their ability to be creative and to make their own decisions because they're constantly being frozen by this comparison and feeling disempowered.
Absolutely. You know, if you love Facebook and you have a great time on there and you walk away feeling empowered, then that's fantastic. It's an incredible tool for a lot of reasons, and I think it's great. But if you go on Facebook for 10, 15 minutes or an hour and you feel disempowered, that's not good. If you want to compare yourself and you get empowered by it, you get motivated, you know, you see someone at the gym who's in fantastic shape and you go, you know what? I want that. Like, he looks great. She looks great. I'm going to go for it. Then that's great. What you don't want is looking at them and going, well, I'm terrible. I can't do it. I'm not enough. You know, that negative self-chatter. It's okay to compare yourself if it's going to leave you empowered, but let's clear out that noise about comparing ourselves and feeling disempowered.
Yes, please. Let's go for it.
Okay. So tapping on the side of the hand. And this is sort of global tapping, and I've mentioned this a couple of times. So it's a little harder to gauge on the 0 to 10 scale, right? So we can make up a scale here. We can say, okay, well, when I think about other people, when I think about my friends and my family members and the people on Facebook, how do I feel? So go ahead and just take a second to tune into that feeling. And however it is that you compare yourself, see yourself doing it or when it happened last and just see how you feel. And you might go, yeah, this is anxiety again. I just feel like I'm not doing enough. I'm not keeping up. I have to work harder. I have to be better. So tune into that feeling and give it a number in a 0 to 10 scale. So if you're really anxious, it's an 8. I know I keep reversing the scales on positive, negative. Usually we go a negative is high. So in this case, we're doing the same thing. A negative is high. If you feel really anxious, if you feel fearful, if you're jealous, you think about the last time you were on Facebook, you just felt jealousy just coursing through your body. Last time you compared yourself with your neighbor or someone on TV. Tune into the feeling, pick the emotion specific to you and give it a number and write it down. And let's do some tapping. So tapping on the side of the hand. Even though I can't stop comparing myself.
Even though I can't stop comparing myself.
To everyone else out there.
To everyone else out there.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
Even though I have this habit of comparing myself.
Even though I have this habit of comparing myself.
And I show myself.
And I show myself.
That I'm just not good enough.
That I'm just not good enough.
I choose to change these feelings now.
I choose to change these feelings now.
Even though I can't stop comparing myself.
Even though I can't stop comparing myself.
To everyone else.
To everyone else.
I choose to change this pattern now.
I choose to change this pattern now.
So the eyebrow point. I gotta compare myself.
I gotta compare myself.
Side of the eye. I keep comparing myself to others.
I keep comparing myself to others.
Under the eye, and I don't like how that makes me feel.
And I don't like how that makes me feel.
Under the nose, these emotions.
These emotions.
Under the mouth, these emotions that I feel.
These emotions that I feel.
Collarbone, when I compare myself to others.
When I compare myself to others.
Under the arm, I can't stop comparing myself.
I can't stop comparing myself.
Top of the head, and I don't like the way I feel.
And I don't like the way I feel.
Eyebrow, I have to compare myself.
I have to compare myself.
Side of the eye, but I always feel disappointed.
But I always feel disappointed.
Under the eye, or upset.
Or upset.
Under the nose, or jealous.
Or jealous.
Under the mouth, or frustrated.
Or frustrated.
Collarbone, I'm beating myself up.
I'm beating myself up.
Under the arm, because I'm not doing enough.
Because I'm not doing enough.
Top of the head, and everyone else is doing so much more.
And everybody else is doing so much more.
Eyebrow, this habit of comparing myself.
This habit of comparing myself.
Side of the eye, this addiction to Facebook.
This addiction to Facebook.
Under the eye, this addiction to Pinterest.
This addiction to Pinterest.
Under the nose, I have to compare myself to others.
I have to compare myself to others.
Under the mouth, I have to see what other people are doing.
I have to see what other people are doing.
Collarbone, I can't stop looking at what other people are doing.
I can't stop looking at what other people are doing.
Under the arm, and comparing myself.
And comparing myself.
Top of the head, this habit of comparing myself.
This habit of comparing myself.
Eyebrow, I choose to release it now.
I choose to release it now.
Side of the eye, I choose to feel empowered now.
I choose to feel empowered now.
Under the eye, I am perfect as I am.
I am perfect as I am.
Under the nose, there's always someone out there.
There's always someone out there.
Under the mouth, doing something better than I am.
Doing something better than I am.
Collarbone, or at least it seems that way.
Or at least it seems that way.
Under the arm, but I choose to change this belief.
But I choose to change this belief.
Top of the head, and release all of the self-judgment.
And release all of this self-judgment.
Eyebrow, I am perfect as I am.
I am perfect as I am.
Side of the eye, my finances are perfect as they are.
My finances are perfect as they are.
Under the eye, even if I want to change them.
Even if I want to change them.
Under the nose, I accept the reality.
I accept the reality.
Under the mouth, of where they are.
Of where they are.
Collarbone, and I choose to change.
And I choose to change.
Under the arm, releasing this habit of comparing ourselves.
Releasing this habit of comparing ourselves.
Top of the head, letting it all go.
Letting it all go.
Deep breath. So again, that was just, you know, a few rounds. Tune in and see what came up. Is it something specific? A lot of times people will find, you know, we use general language, but it's really about your best friend, Susie, that you keep comparing yourself with. So you might want to tap on her specifically and how you feel about what she's doing, how she makes you feel about what you're doing. A lot of times all these things come down to relationships. So pay attention to those personal and impersonal relationships. And who's triggering you? Is there someone on TV that when you see them, they just sets you off because you wish you had their life? You can tap on that.
Absolutely. So we have covered so much already, you know, talking about the three key steps to getting the best results, clearing the noise, this issue of comparison. And now another thing that I want to bring in that I think would be helpful to learn about in this class is the trouble that some people face with even looking at their finances, even addressing them, even opening that drawer of bills. Can you tell us a bit about this?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this goes back to the awareness issue, and it's tied in directly to that. That is about the awareness. And I think the trouble goes beyond just looking at finances. It's to a deeper issue of trouble looking at reality. And what a lot of us struggle with, especially, I mean, people the world over struggle with finances and denying what they're faced with. But in particular, this community, people who are looking to change, people who are looking to empower themselves to create a better life, there's this tough question on how do we have magical thinking? How do we have outrageous dreams and goals? How do we think big and be positive and have realistic thinking at the same time, right?
Yeah.
It's like, well, which one am I going to do? And with tapping, a lot of people who have been sort of following The Secret and The Law of Attraction have seen that movie and studied other stuff. They kind of freak out at first. They go, why are we spending so much time on the negative? You know, like, I don't want to look at it because if I talk about my bills or I talk about anything else, I'm going to get more of them. I think that's the really basic understanding of those concepts, and it misses really the key, which the key is whether you're thinking about these feelings or not, they're there. Right? If you can bring something forward and you feel anxiety about it, it means you're anxious about it when you're not thinking about it. So we're bringing things to the surface for a short time to tap on it and release that anxiety. And that's what we're doing with the finances. It's like, let's bring the bills out of the drawer. Feel the feeling that you feel. Feel the anxiety, whatever it is that's going on. Tap on it and then release it. Because it doesn't feel good to have bills in a drawer, right? Just like in the same way, it doesn't feel good to bury your anxiety around other emotional issues, to bury your fear, to bury your disappointment, your shame, your anger. It doesn't feel good to bury the bills in a drawer. And the bills in a drawer is actually a pretty good metaphor for the other emotions that we have. You know it's there, right? If you tell me that you got a stack of bills in the drawer that you refuse to look at, don't tell me you don't know it's there. And don't tell me at some level it's not subtly stressing you out. So let's take a look at them. Let's address how you feel about them. Let's change the perception. And then that way we change the reality. We can have magical thinking. We can have outrageous dreams and goals. We can follow our passions and be realistic at the same time. You can pay your bills. You can address what's stressing you out and then think big. And the great part about it is one of the ways that we do both is that when we address the real feelings that we have, when we address the blocks, the story, the patterns of sabotage, the patterns of procrastination, that's when we can have real magical thinking.
Yes, absolutely.
That's when we can have outrageous dreams because, look, we're handling the basics.
It's so different when it's from a grounded and centered place.
Yeah, it's night and day. And I meet and talk to people all the time. And people share with me their outrageous dreams and their passions. I think they share with them with me in particular because they see that I've gone through a similar journey where I had this outrageous dream to make a film when I had no idea what I was doing. So they share with me, and I always can tell the two kinds of people. The people who are grounded and present in their thinking and their reality, and they've acknowledged what they need to do and what they need to work on and what the next step is. And then the people who are sort of in magical fairyland with where they're like, I'm going to do this, and they're not willing to take a deeper look at what's going to be in their way. You can do both. You can be real, present, and grounded and still have this passionate, magical, outrageous thinking.
Absolutely. It's so exciting to hear that we're bringing in these two different ways of thinking. And this is really where people are going to start getting the real results. Nick, we have covered so much in this class. Are there some steps that people should take between this class and the next one to ensure they continue making progress and get the best results?
Yeah, absolutely. As I've mentioned a couple times, that daily tapping audio is really powerful. That tapping audio and just overcoming the anxiety, the overwhelm, all the financial triggers. The other thing that I'm going to ask people to do, and I don't want to call it homework because nobody likes homework, right? So we'll have to come up with a new name for it. But if you can post on the group page and identify your triggers and share them with the group. Now, what I'd like you to do is to identify not only your triggers, but how you react. So instead of just writing on the group page, bills set me off, or, you know, I get angry when I get the bills, or I get so frustrated. I want you to write something like, when I walk out to the mailbox to get the mail, I just know the bills are there. My chest feels tighter. I get anxious and I think about all the challenges I'm going to have. Or when I open my inbox in the morning and I see 842 messages, I know that there are so many responsibilities and so many financial things that I have to do that it just completely overwhelms me and I go do something else. I want you to tell a longer story about what happens. Now, you don't have to write a book about it. You know, we don't need 10 paragraphs on that, though if you choose to, you can do that. But the way that you can best serve yourself and the group, because this is also for the group, is to sort of tell a one paragraph story about a specific trigger that you have and how it makes you feel in your body. What does it remind you of? All those questions that we asked earlier. Answer those questions and share that with the group. And then also participate in the group. So if someone shares a trigger, comment. Let them know that that happens for you, or give them some ideas or advice as to what you did in a similar situation. It is such a gift that you give to others and really is a part of financial success, is raising your level of contribution. So this is a first step and opportunity to contribute to the group and to help others. And enjoy the rest of your week. I'm so excited about what we're covering this week and next week's topic.
Well, Nick, thank you so much. I had a great time, really.
Thanks, Jessica. It was a pleasure.